Hey everyone, welcome to the Plain Glass Podcast, where we talk about worship leadership, church music, and a myriad of other stuff. My name is Jay.
And my name is Chris. Today we're going to discuss a pretty personal topic. Leading worship is difficult, and that's part of why we're making this podcast, so that we can discuss these issues together. Today we're going to discuss what happens after a Sunday morning for the worship leader.
But before we dive into our topic of the week, we're going to take a moment and share about our most recent Sunday. You ready to do that, Chris?
Let's do it.
So, Chris, why don't you share with us a high and a low from your most recent Sunday?
Sure. One of the aspects of my job that actually helps me to be able to have a job beyond just Sunday morning leading worship is I manage our Sunday morning teams. So these are the volunteer teams that operate on basically every level that doesn't involve education. So we're gearing up for a move to two services at our church from one. And so we had a really wonderful worship service this Sunday, but after it, we were going to have like a 15-minute meeting with all of those people. And I was leading that meeting. So for me, this is one of those real challenges where I have to kind of switch gears from being the person leading worship to the person who's overseeing these teams.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's very different from my mentality when I'm leading worship and I'm leading the worship team to do that.
Yeah.
So I was just really encouraged this Sunday because it felt really full since we had those two components going on. So my day was like almost I'm split in half.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like there was just such an increase from both of those things. So it was one of the rare Sundays where I felt like everything was just really blessed. And God worked in all of those places. And where I was weak, he shored me up either with other people, whether it's working with people on our staff or, you know, the team. I just felt very supported. Like I had the resources that I need to be able to do what I needed to do. And that might sound crazy. That's like, wow, that should be your norm. But I'll confess that I don't always feel that way.
Sure.
So yeah. This Sunday, that was the high of just getting done and feeling like, look at everything that we were able to accomplish and do. So I left with a real sense of gratitude of what I get to do.
Yeah,
and really being thankful for that and just the number of people in all these various capacities and just overwhelmed with thankfulness for that.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And maybe I'll think a little bit about my low, but what about you? Tell me about your Sunday.
Yeah. So this past Sunday was actually our first Sunday with two services.
That's right. So it's a big one.
Yeah. It was a big Sunday. We had been talking about going to two services for about a year and a half, and so we're finally here. And it was a bit of work getting here. I had to meet with my worship team on two separate meetings because not everybody could attend the same meeting, so I had to do two meetings. You know, people's schedules are just super. Yeah, everybody's just super busy, and it's so hard to get 22 people's schedules to all line up. To meet at the same time is nearly impossible these days, I feel like. So
if you figure that out, let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. Oh, man, it's so hard. And we did this night of worship on Friday night, which took a lot of prep for me. I get through that and then turn around and we've gone to two services this past Sunday. So I just kind of walked into Sunday morning already a bit tired, but man, was I so encouraged by the turnout on Sunday. There was a little bit of a, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. Specifically with the second service, we knew that the first service was going to be a bigger service. We had kind of taken a poll with our church to try and find out where are people thinking of going and where do we need to maybe ask some folks to consider going to one rather than the other, or like us as a staff and our families. Which one are we going to attend? And it's going to be the lower attended service so that we can have critical mass and it not feel empty. Because we don't have a large church, but our space is such a size that we can't fit everybody in the same room anymore.
Yeah.
So we just didn't want everybody going to one service and then like five people going to the second service. So So many people came to the first service, and it was full. And I had a great time with it, got done, but then was immediately kind of like worried for the second service.
Yeah.
Like, oh no.
Is it just so
many
be me?
So many people came to this first service. What is this second service going to look like? And, you know, we got to the second service, and I would say 40% less as the first service.
That's great.
So it was not small, which was really encouraging.
There wouldn't have really been room for them.
No, there would not have been.
And so that's exactly what you're hoping to see happen.
Exactly. It was exactly what we hoped. I mean, we got done.
It's really encouraging.
Yeah. So it did exactly what we were hoping for and provided that space. I'm trying to think if there were any lows to the service.
Your exhaustion might have been a low. I mean, that's a lot to do in one weekend, to do something the magnitude of what your worship night was. Because what a listener wouldn't know is that it was like, what, 15, 16 songs?
Yeah, it was an hour and a half of music, basically nonstop.
That's a lot to take on in a vacuum.
Right.
Much less before going into leading worship and it being your two service launch day. That's a pretty big weekend.
Yeah. I was encouraged by the numbers and things, but I have to say my high was my worship team was incredible. The people that I had playing on Friday were the people I had playing Sunday. I specifically asked these people to play both.
Yeah.
With me, because it would just help me tremendously to not have to rehearse another team in addition to everything that I did for Friday night going into Sunday.
Did you have any overlap of songs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
that's smart. That's good leadership, because you know what your limitations are.
Yes.
And you're realistic about what your capacity is and the capacity of your team.
Yeah. Yeah. We did 6 songs in the service. 4 of them. Excuse me. 4 of them were from Friday night.
Well done, Jay. And, well done.
And one of them I did by myself, like the 5th one out of the 6. Yeah. So there was only one song that we had to get together on Sunday and rehearse. Yeah, that was clutch, having the same team from Friday to Sunday. And they're just wonderful people to serve with. So I was just constantly reminded through Friday and through Sunday, I love these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love serving with these people. So
it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all I have to share this week.
Sure.
I'm still recovering.
I could see it in your demeanor. That's fine.
I also got up at 5 o'clock this morning to start going to the gym again after a month of not doing it, so.
Oh man.
I'm so exhausted.
Jay, you win at everything this week, okay?
That's really why I said that.
Yep. I had leftover Chinese food for lunch today. I did need a nap this afternoon. I didn't take it, but I needed it.
It wasn't because you got up at 5 to go to the gym.
No, it's because I ate Chinese food for lunch. At like 3 o'clock, you can cut this part out, but I'm driving home with my kids. I went to get them from school. I took the afternoon off because I worked 7 days straight, so I was going to take some time.
Yeah.
And I taught this morning. But like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the minivan, like, can I stay awake until I get home because of that stinking lo mein? And whatever they put in it, the like magic dust that they shake into every box of Chinese food.
It's called MSG.
I think that it might be like 2.0. Like, we're on to MSG. And so now they're like, there's no MSG in this, but there's something worse that we don't know about that's always been there, and they're just shaking more of that into it. Yeah. This is what I'm convinced of. So, all right, I just gave you about 2 minutes of fluff there,
and I love it.
Sunday morning, we have a build up to this event.
Yes,
that is our gathering, our worship gathering. We put time, we put creativity, we put effort and even desire and hope into what we're putting together for a Sunday morning. We bring it to the table, we lead our teams, and hopefully by God's grace, you know, we pass through it with also some sense of actually getting to also worship, you know?
Yeah.
So that we didn't put on a show and we didn't just put on a happy face and show up and act like everything was fine if maybe it wasn't. But we came as worshipers too, and we led. We made it through the event that is Sunday morning. What happens after the service is done? What are things like for you right after that?
When I think about this, we were talking about this being called like the Monday letdown. I actually think I don't know if I experience it weekly. I experience the tiredness weekly. But there's something unique that happens at particularly highly emotional services. So for instance, this worship night that we did, my mind and my heart were very invested in leading this service, and I was worshiping the Lord along with these folks, and so I'm interacting with these words and singing to God and pouring out my heart completely. I actually feel after the fact, it may be an hour or two, or maybe the next day, like Monday or Saturday in this instance,
mm-hmm.
where I just feel sad. And that's happened quite a bit. And I've had to figure out, why do I feel sad? Like, I even told my wife Saturday, she did this Springs run, and I watched the kids and I took the kids to it. And I told her afterwards, because I could sense I've been kind of mopey today.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told her before she brought it up, I'm like, I know I'm sad. I look sad, or like something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. I'm not upset about anything. I think I'm just emotionally spent from the service last night.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this happens or what to do about it. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have. We talked about it earlier, and I think the Monday letdown thing, that's what came up immediately. Yeah. It really, more realistically, is just like the post, whatever it is that you're building up to and pouring yourself into, post that. There's a real potential for a downward swing.
Yeah.
And it's something actually, I think I always experience it at some level. And it almost can feel like disappointment or regret.
Mm-hmm.
And it's strange to even say those words. It's like, I just led worship and I leave regretful and disappointment, maybe even some shame. I mean, there's like all these kind of nasty things that can get mixed up, I think, in the feeling of it.
Yeah.
In reality, it's probably one of the places where I have experienced the most intense spiritual warfare has been in those moments of after a really great thing. So, and I don't know if it's just because, you know, Satan knows I'm weakest then.
Yeah.
And he comes after me with, you know, the things that he knows will compromise me and make me feel even worse. But I've definitely experienced that with such regularity that it's made me question, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is this something that could be identified or might be something that's not just me? It's not just a problem that I have that I need to deal with. Might be something other people deal with. And so when you and I have talked about this, someone I've realized it's not just me. I think it raises the question of how many other people struggle with this. And I've talked to other people and gotten a feeling that that's there. And it's something that leaders, I think in particular, can experience.
Yeah.
I can remember weeks where this was when I was single, but I would get done with leading worship and I'd either maybe sleep for a long time. There was also a period of time where I'd kind of leave town for like a couple of hours or a few hours and just go out and do something. I own a motorcycle at this time, and so I would ride, and that's something that was really relaxing for me.
You're too cool for me.
I don't own it anymore. I gave it up, but I shouldn't have.
Well, your wife didn't want to be a widow.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Every time I talk about getting another one, I get looks.
Yeah.
But it really kind of freed me. There was something about just escaping for a little bit. And I don't know how healthy that was, but it's definitely healthier than like turning to a substance or something. You know, sure. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can do to cope when we're feeling the way you were just describing.
Yeah.
I could say, yes, I felt it. And it does seem to follow the highest highs. It's like a peak up here. And then I'm going to ride that sine wave down.
Yep.
And I might have a valley that is equal in amplitude.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's, I have come to expect it.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
And I, so to hear you share that, I think it's helpful for me. If we're thinking about trying to create a space for leaders to think about what they're doing and interact with us and think about these things with us, because that's what we want. How many other people have these types of experiences? And it, you could call it what you want to call it.
A case of the Mondays?
Just another manic Monday. But then they say, I wish it were a Sunday, but that actually works because Sunday morning is the good thing. Yeah. Cyndi Lauper, right? She knew. Was she a worship leader?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
But maybe, because I feel like a lot of famous singers started out in church.
Yeah. Good call.
Aretha Franklin.
Oh, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney. So this is something that's known. We could name it. We could give it a name. I think what might be more helpful, what are some ways that that you have worked to counteract some of the most negative aspects of what we're talking about? Because it's not necessarily bad to have ups and downs. Everybody does. If you're just stoic, if you're just a flat line, what a miserable way to live. I mean, to never feel joy. That's ridiculous. But to bottom out.
You just alienated like 30% of the world.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All you people who have it put together, you belong somewhere else. For those of us who feel great sometimes and really bad others, that's who we're leading. I mean, we're leading people who are on any given Sunday in a place on that continuum. Right? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are emotional beings, and worship, and particularly music, has a way of working our emotions. And I think it's good.
I think it's a God-given thing.
Yeah, and there's a reason why he commands us to sing. Things happen when we sing that it can't happen any other way.
I mean, why wouldn't we just read the words?
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why it's set to music, and I think it's connecting the head with the heart. That's what singing these words does. It connects the head with the heart.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And impresses things into us that we can't necessarily get any other way. And if you need evidence of that, just think about the words that you know. Try to imagine something that you could recite for me. Maybe it's like the preamble to the Constitution from, you know, elementary school, or the Gettysburg Address.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Right. Or chances are it is all of the words to an NSYNC song if you grew up in the 90s, or, you know, take your pick of something popular that maybe you don't want to admit that you know, but you know every word. It's because it's set to music.
T-Swift.
Get it.
I don't know any T-Swift.
No?
I really don't.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's a little disappointing.
You can judge me.
I'll fix it. I'll just fix it. I won't judge you. I'll fix it. So this brings us back to my question, and this is a question for both of us, and it's a question for the listener, because there might be aspects of this. It's a pretty deep topic, and there's psychology involved here, and there could be a very scientific approach to this. There could be a therapeutic approach to this. I'm thinking of a pragmatic or practical approach based on the experience of the leader. How do you work to kind of set yourself up for success in those moments where you're low?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah, it's a question for both of us. If you don't have any thoughts, we can take it in a few different directions.
No, I mean, I don't know if there's, you can disagree with me, but I'm not sure if there's a way around it or if it's just a part of what I do.
Yeah.
If it's just a natural rhythm. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to be as severe as it is sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think learning to expect, I'm going to feel a little empty after I do this thing, helps to know how to cope with it and what to do to kind of pr- process it. So the fact that I take a nap most Sundays is a response to the fact that I know I'm going to feel spent emotionally after a Sunday service or Sunday services, so that when I can come back out of that, it's not like a 3-hour nap. I don't take 3 hours.
Guilty.
Max, it's like an hour and a half.
Can we have an aside here?
Sure.
There were times where I would go straight home and I would sleep until it was dark.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So that's, these are some of the experiences that I have.
So that might be an unhealthy form of something that could be healthy, yeah, way to process it. But maybe it's so. Like, maybe that's like a little bit too much. But like taking an hour and a half or an hour or even just 45 minutes to myself. Mm-hmm. Like even just yesterday, I didn't take a nap, but I did have an hour to myself. I went up into our bedroom, shut the door, turned the sound machine on so I couldn't hear the kids, and worked on, we multi-track recorded the Friday night service. So I was really interested in seeing how it came out,
yeah,
and what it sounded like. So I spent time with headphones on by myself and kind of listened through it, some of that.
That's something actually that can help me if I get at the end of something. I can almost have an anxiety of like, I want to know what it was like, because mm-hmm. we don't know what it sounds like. We don't know what it feels like. But there's something about a recording that can give me a little bit of a window into that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do a multi-track recording. We just have a stereo. So I get what was coming out of the board, but I've kind of learned, I know what it does in our room, and you know,
what's in the room may sound one way, but directly out of your board into headphones,
it's not. Yeah. But sometimes I'll come in here and I'll play it over the speakers, and that gives me a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
You sure. know, I just, the acoustic instruments will do something different, mm-hmm. and you kind of have to just make those corrections mentally.
Yeah.
But getting to go back and listen to it can actually really help me. I had a similar experience yesterday in that I got to come back here. Just kind of a fluke thing. I ended up back in our space and I got to listen to the recording in the house speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me kind of lay some of those things. I don't know if it's a little bit of an anxiety of like, what was that like? What was this like? And I have this jumbled memory of all the things that I noticed and cared about in the moment, but I tried to process them all in real time with everything else, and I feel like I lost some things. If I go back and listen, I might hear that thing. Oh yeah, I remember. I want to talk to a vocalist about this. You know, I want to evaluate it and think about the things that I could improve and work on, mm-hmm. either for myself or in terms of how I'm leading my team. Going back and listening can help it be less of this unknown theoretical thing. And I've got action items now,
mm-hmm.
and I can write down 5 and put it out of my mind.
Yeah.
That could actually be really helpful for me. And I normally do that on Monday.
Okay.
So, but do you make it a habit to do that, to process?
I don't. We don't record. We only record the sermons.
Okay.
So none of the music gets recorded from week to week. This just for special events. Do I record? Because it just takes up so much space.
Yeah.
I'm going to trash most of it anyway. I like to listen to it and then save some of the stuff that came out really nice, mm-hmm. and send it to the team members.
Yeah.
That's usually why I record special events, is to share with those who served on the team for that event.
See, mine's mostly selfish. It's to be able to...
Well, I mean, there's definitely a selfish component.
Go back and...
Yeah.
And revel. Take notes on everything.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's... reveling in my own glory.
So that's like actually something.
Perceived glory.
Yes, perceived.
Until I turn everything down but my own vocal track, and then there's zero glory.
Yep. At the end of this episode, we'll post an isolated vocal of Jay for that entire hour and a half, and you can just feast on it.
Please, no.
Pitch perfect.
That's called torture. We don't want to do that to our worst enemies.
If you'd like to hear that, please ask us, and I will find a way to get it off of his computer and send it to you.
Well, we'll see about that.
So I have a few things to think about in terms of, I don't know the word to use to describe. Antidote came to mind, or a remedy.
Mm.
But in some ways that does indicate that it's like a problem that I would feel a little bit down after a Sunday. And I think what we're saying, I agree with you. I don't think that it's something that's necessarily a problem that you'd want to wish away, but it's something to be aware of, identify, and then manage. Some things to think through, knowing that if it's your temperament, it's the chances are you're going to have these patterns of up and down. And maybe you feel them in big ups and big downs, or maybe they're, it's a little bit more, the undulations are less intense. Sure. And if that's the case, maybe that's your temperament. Some things to think about. The first, Jay, you've hinted at this kind of the whole night. And so I'll actually say I'm encouraged by your nap.
Okay.
I think your nap is a good idea. And it's not because it's the self-serving, like, oh, I just really, I'm just so tired because I'm just,
I worked so hard.
Yeah, I'm just,
My wife was alone with the kids all morning. Right. I worked so hard.
Exactly. Because it could feel like that.
Yeah.
And I could see that leading to just resentment and bitterness on the part of your wife.
Sure.
And it would be justified almost.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're saying, and that's not what you're doing. You've identified something about your temperament. You've evaluated yourself. You've evaluated your family and the family dynamic. You know yourself well enough to know what you need, and you're willing to ask for it. And I think that that is the foundation. That's the beginning. And really it goes back to, it's just health and ministry of like, how can I do this for the long term? You could kind of do anything. If it's a flash in the pan and you just want to burn out, you can operate with all sorts of unhealthy habits and it'll be fine, so long as you don't want to keep doing it for a long time.
Right.
If you want to build a healthy pattern of being able to do ministry, that's crucial. There's an aspect of who you are that you know there's a requirement there. And there are times where we sacrifice that because we have to. But that should be that's a one-off. That's an extenuating circumstance. Our norm should be something where we're just honest about what our strengths and our weaknesses are, and we're honest about what we know about ourselves and what we need.
Yeah. And maybe you may not need a nap in the afternoon after a Sunday, maybe something else, but at least understanding yourself to know what your limitations are and what serving on a Sunday does to you post service.
Yeah. Another aspect, I think, and we've talked about this in the past, and it's this, it's almost like a buzzword at this point, but boundaries. And yeah, we scoff at it.
That's me laughing.
But you know what? They are so important.
Hedges of protection.
There you go. Throw scripture at it.
That'll fix it.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a loaded term. What I'm talking about is basic, this is how to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
How do you strike up work-life boundaries that make sense? Are you taking adequate time off? This could include a Sunday morning, okay? Is there any category for you not being the one that's leading the songs in your church?
Yeah.
You know? And I know, you know, you and I both have this, some of that. There's a flexibility for us to be able to get away. I know that, and we've discussed that in the past, that sometimes that's what you need.
Yep.
Right? You need to be away, whether it's alone, whether it's with your spouse, or maybe it's going to a conference. Jay and I have traveled to conference in the past together, and that was wonderful.
Yeah.
But having those things built in to your schedule so that you're not either A, begging for them and, you know, desperate to get that time and having to scramble. You've prepared for it. But also you're not caught off guard when you're feeling really fatigued. That's when you're most vulnerable. You should have something structured into your life that gives you reprieve from that so that you can recharge.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember now. It's been so long since I listened to the burnout episode, but I think we talk a little bit about it in the burnout episode.
I think so. So maybe reference that, because this is some of these indicators, this could be one aspect of, if you don't know how to handle that feeling when things get hard after the big event or the Sunday morning, these are things that can contribute to you
really
wearing out.
Yeah, this is like, the stuff that we're discussing going unchecked can lead towards burnout and exhaustion on a much deeper level. We talked about tank drainers and tank fillers, I think, on that episode. It's so funny because I've I've hacked that episode to pieces to fit it into our like desired time. So I'm like, I have no idea what's in that episode and what's not anymore. but
cherry pick a couple things from it and put them into this
one. I'll go back and listen. But like, yeah, compensating for the things that drain your tank with things that fill your tank. For us, for one thing that fills my tank, I'm going to share this. Recently, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons with a group of people.
The smile on your face says it all. That's what they can't see. Only I get that.
I know, right? So, and that's not even like a, that's with people. So me, I need time alone. But I also have parts of me that like I just need time to be with people. But also just. This is something that's not tied to anything that I'm doing with work or with church. It's just a fun time, whether, you know, tabletop gaming of some kind. So once a month, I join these people and my my halfling monk is on a journey right now.
So good. So you have to have adequate nerd time is what you're saying.
Exactly. I don't know what else to say about boundaries.
These are just things to think through if you haven't already.
Yeah.
If you've got ideas, that's something that we'd like to hear. So if there are things that you've learned over the course of time or maybe questions that you have, I don't know how to handle this aspect of what to do with myself when I get done either with a great Sunday or something that's really terrible. Sometimes it can be almost the same outcome for me.
Yeah.
So if you have questions and you're experiencing some of that, we would like to hear those. And if there's anything that we can do to...
I would also like to know what race and class you're playing right now, if you play D&D.
Yeah, that's a bonus. That's more, just for Jay.
Just for Jay.
So I've got a final thought, and this is... we can wrap up our time with this. And this is probably the most important... Because we can talk about all this. It can start to sound like a self-help book after a while. If you think about, it's almost like medicating the problem. I've got symptoms and I'm going to figure out how to cope with these symptoms.
Yeah.
There's the systemic level of what's motivating me and what's shaping me in the process of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Hopefully the obvious answer to that, to both of those, is the person of Jesus Christ. That as disciples of Christ, we are being renewed. We are being made more like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is doing that no matter what your vocation is. If you are his, he's doing that in you. He began that work and he will complete that work. That's the place that I don't know how it is that the worship leader in me can forget that. It's almost like faster than... The times when I wasn't leading worship and I was just working. I just had a full-time job and was attending church. I'm almost more prone to forget that now than I was then. And I don't know if it's the self-deception in me or again, I'm pretty vulnerable in those moments to just forget the purpose of what I'm doing. But one thing that I would close my thoughts with this, that we have to press into remembering what it is we're trying to accomplish and who it is that's doing that work.
Yeah, it's good.
So I want to build whose kingdom, mine or God's? God's. Who is doing that work? God. That, as a baseline for me, can free me from some of the pitfalls of both the highest high and the lowest low.
Yeah, it's really good that you bring that up because we didn't really touch on if you had to assess what's causing the lows or like those bottoming out kind of post-service things, like is it you judging the way that you led worship or feeling like you could have done it better or what if I had just done this thing? Like if those are the thoughts that are coming into your head, what you just said is what you need to think about to fight those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the service is done. You've done it. It's over.
It happened.
There's nothing you can do to change how you led worship or how you played that song or the way you reacted to this thing or that. I mean, if there's sin that needs to be repented of, yep, and people that you need to reconcile with, yes, of course, do those things. But there's no need to dwell on your own deficiencies,
yeah,
own perceived deficiencies, when you really need to be dwelling on what Christ is doing in you amidst those deficiencies or perceived deficiencies, because this is Christ's work, not mm-hmm. our work. We're here as part of the mission. It's not our mission. So I think that's good to think about post-service. What is making you feel this way? Is it self-centered? And if so, you need to reorient the way, and maybe that'll help you not have such low lows or prolonged lows, because you've learned to get yourself out of those, mm-hmm. that mindset. Because I know for myself, I used to be able to walk away, when I was in music school, I studied percussion, and I would leave a wind ensemble concert, and I could tell you the measure number of which places I made mistakes in, yeah, which pieces. I was that critical of myself. And that actually carried over for a good while into my worship leading. I would leave a worship service and think about everywhere I made a mistake somehow and where it happened in the service. Mm-hmm. And that is totally missing the point of what you're doing and why you're there.
But if we're honest, we all do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We all do that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to improve.
Sure.
Because I want to be great. And hopefully that's not because for greatness' sake, so that I am great.
Yeah.
But I want to do my best and bring my absolute best for him. That is a wonderful thing.
I agree.
To desire, right?
I'm not trying to say, yeah.
But I'm right there with you where we hang everything on that. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like that's what puts me to sleep in that stupor at the end of the day, where I'm just defeating myself over and over again. And that I'm right there with you. It completely misses the point of what God was working on when I was here. And to remember, he's not just working when I'm doing a great job.
Yeah.
He is super present all the time.
Yep.
All the time. And somehow making his strength perfect in my weakness. If I'm at the center, that's going to lead to problems. It's going to lead to lots of problems. If Christ is at the center, I can weather these ups and downs. It's a challenge to us as worship leaders to dethrone ourselves. Okay? I want to put myself there where I'm in charge. I'm great. People love me. I just choose the best songs. Yeah. I led that one perfectly. Maybe there's an altar call and all these people came down. Whatever it is. And all those things are good. All those the results would be good.
Yeah.
I want Jesus.
Yep.
I want other people to know Jesus. The minute I start to put myself in the position of somehow ushering people into his presence.
Yeah, like we've talked about. Yep.
The arbiter of his presence.
Yep.
I am not worthy of standing in that place. The only one is Jesus Christ. So I can functionally put myself there if I'm not careful. And then when I get done, I can be in a very vulnerable place. So the challenge for me, and I think this is a challenge for all of us, and something to think about, how do we maintain a perspective as worship leaders that truly exalts Christ in our own hearts, and the way that we're approaching worship leadership, we're looking to him and not to ourselves.
It's a good challenge.
All righty.
Well, each week we like to take a look at CCLI's top 100 list and review a song from the list. What is this week's song, Chris?
This week's song is The Lion and the Lamb. It's got three authors: Brenton Brown, Brian Johnson, Leland Mooring.
That's right. It's made popular by Leland, the band Leland.
Yeah. Origin would be Bethel. Mm. So Brian Johnson and Leland, I think that's, I could be wrong actually, almost certain. Leland does some leading via Bethel. Brian Johnson is a pastor in Bethel.
Somebody can explain this to us when we inevitably get this wrong.
Right. Listener. That is the origin. It's fine. 2015, so it's been around. What's the song about?
It's very Revelation-oriented.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be. I see second coming here. He's coming on the clouds.
Yep.
Right? And so it's a promise of what's going to happen when things are restored. Every chain will break. It's broken hearts declare his praise. There's a motif. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? So each verse ends with that, as does the bridge. The bridge is actually just singing that over and over again. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
And it gets at these two illustrations or pictures of God as a lion,
mm-hmm.
who's powerful, and then also as a lamb, who is the sacrifice.
Yep. And therein you have these attributes of God both on display. So I think that there's something about that that's very, it makes the song approachable, teaching an aspect of the incarnation, of what it is that Christ came, maybe in a way that would be new to people. Like if you hear this lion and the lamb, how does that make sense? Well, it's perfectly matched in Christ, and that's actually pretty confounding. So I could see it being something that actually draws people in to a further and deeper understanding of Christ. One thing that I'm hung up on, this chorus is very long. And
it is, yeah.
And there are a lot of syllables. There are a lot of sung syllables in the chorus. It's very dense. It's kind of high, and there's not a lot of room to breathe. So most people who don't really know how to sing and breathe properly, they're out of steam. And I've actually experienced that in leading this song. I've seen people trail off kind of two-thirds of the way through the chorus. Like, they just can't keep up.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think the singability of the song is questionable for the, you know, Joe attender of your church.
And Joe is absolutely the person that we're picking songs for.
Yeah. We want to make sure that...
We really want Joe to be able to sing.
Yeah.
And to feel like he belongs there. So...
I love the words are great. Words are really good. I actually even like, personally, I like the way you think that the last line of the chorus is going to end, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Every knee will bow right. before the lion and the lamb. It just kind of trails off.
Yep.
And then it says, oh, every knee will bow before him. I like that. I think it's creative.
Yeah.
But
that's the spot where you lose Joe.
Yeah, that's the spot where you lose Joe, because you got to take a nice deep breath there, or you're not going to make it to the end.
Yeah.
And somebody who's an untrained vocalist
is going to
struggle through that.
So it's a good candidate maybe for a little special piece where we would say...
Prelude?
Yes. Or, and especially if you're thinking about church calendar stuff. So there are times where we want to think about Christ and his second coming. And there are some songs that do well with that. Advent is a time leading up to Christmas where we think about both coming. So we exist kind of in between these Advents where Christ came and he's going to come back. And so we want to look forward to that. And there aren't a lot of great songs, especially newer songs, that really point to this. That's why earlier today we came across the song Hosanna, that older hill song. Similar theme.
Yeah.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. That's a completely different style, though.
Yes.
But there's something about having that kind of space when we're talking about a really big subject like that, that I like, and I prefer that to something like this that's so frenetic. There's so much movement. Every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. It's too much for me.
Mm.
So
this is a no-go congregationally for you.
Yep.
Yeah. I would use it as an opener to a service where the church isn't trying to sing with us. I'm not sure if I would teach it as a congregational song. I'm not trying to tell people not to do this for their church. It could work really well for your church.
Of course.
But for my church, I don't think it would be a good one. I could be surprised, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are times where I've thought, this song's going to be great. My church is going to love this one. And they're not on board.
They hate it.
we're going to quietly put that one away.
Yep. This one goes into that category for me. So for I didn't hope that it would go well necessarily, except that I hope everything will.
You didn't have a special intention for this.
I wasn't championing it, but we did it.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's why it didn't go well.
I didn't believe enough.
You didn't believe enough.
I didn't believe in it. You're right. That's the problem. So I can still
if every
remember.
Disney or child's movie from the 90s yes. taught us anything, it's just believe.
Just wish upon a star, man.
Yeah.
That didn't work with this one.
Oh, well, too bad.
Okay. Well, that's this week's episode. We hope you were encouraged and challenged by our discussion.
If you want to reach out to us with any questions or comments about our discussion, comment below, or you can send us an email at plainglasspod@gmail.com. We do really appreciate the time that you've taken to go on this journey with us.